Well appointed master suite back home, but they said they were happier staying with me than at the B&B. Luckily, they were both tired after the long drive, and they went to bed shortly. I thought about texting Curtis, just to check in, but then I thought about how I'd feel if he didn't respond. So I didn't. In the morning, I took them with me to the tavern, where Mason delved deep into facts and figures for Dad, laying out the business plan, the funding we'd already had, the advertising he wanted to do with the cash influx. Dad didn't immediately say yes. He wanted to think about it. He needed to check in with his office and get some reports done, so he and Mom worked from my place, and after the lunch rush died down, I took them for a drive around the area. We went up to Moosehead Lake, and then took the beach road, appreciating the bluffs and coastal views. Back in town, I pointed out the small businesses, trying to impress them with the local character. We visited one of the art galleries, and Mom bought a painting of some ospreys. Although chilly, it wasn't raining, so after stowing the painting in the trunk of Dad's Lexus, we walked down the row of shops on 101, stopping at the Taffy Place, the Windchime Store, and the Jewelry Gallery. Playing tourist was kind of fun, but I really just wanted them to love this place as much as I was coming to love it, and commit to helping the business. I didn't want to have to go back to Mason empty-handed. From the upscale jewelry place, I could see Curtis's converted gas station. He was working out front under the awning, something he typically did on weekends. The piece he was carving was large, maybe half a mature tree, and he was attacking it with a chainsaw, sawdust flying everywhere. Hey, come on! I want you to see the chainsaw carver. His stuff is really cool. I motioned for my parents to follow me, Mom's wedges clicking on the pavement as we approached Curtis's place. He had finished the troll he'd been working on Tuesday. It had a place with the other finished pieces in front of the station, a sold sign hanging around its thick troll neck. Oh, I love this! Mom inspected the troll. And the birds!
A bit rustic.
Dad's tone was skeptical. He'd sounded the same all day. He just wasn't seeing what I did in Rainbow Cove. The artisan certainly is fierce. Mom leaned close to me, so that I could hear her over the buzz of the chainsaw. Curtis wasn't just fierce, he was magnificent. In deference to the temperatures, he had on a wool cap and a red plaid shirt, along with thick safety goggles and earmuffs, every inch the iconic lumberjack. He moved around the piece he was working on with complete command, angling the saw in different directions. I wasn't only impressed, I was proud. All that power and mastery, and he still chose to submit to me. It was more than a little humbling. Slowly, the image of a person started to emerge from the wood, an old man's craggy face. Curtis was so deep into the zone that I wasn't sure he'd registered our presence. I, sure as hell, wasn't going to interrupt a man with power tools. Just watching him was a delight, but I could sense my parents' impatience. Right as I turned to lead them back to the car, the saw shut off, and Curtis walked over.
Kid.
He nodded at me as he pulled the safety gear off. I'm taking that out of your ass later. I beamed at him with my eyes, before introducing my parents. I want a troll, my mother said to him, just like that one over there. It looks so cute in my garden, don't you think, Ed? My father grunted, but dug out his wallet.
You require a deposit for a custom order? We can pick it up next time we come to visit Logan. 50% down. Cash or check?
You need a card reader, I observed, still smarting from the kid remark.
I get along just fine.
There was a rebuke in his eyes.
Those phone card readers are full of fees and hassle.
Plus, you'd have to get a new phone. I joked, then remembered I probably wasn't supposed to know what type of phone he had. My mother gave me a curious look.
Nope. Gonna be buried with this one.
Curtis tossed back, but the warning was still in his expression. Fine. If he didn't want to publicly be my friend, no one was going to make him. I let my dad write him a check and fill out a photocopied order form, and then followed them back to the car. Dad was grumbling about Mom's impulsiveness, but then switched his attention to me.
How do you know the woodcarver?
He comes into the tavern with Flint, Mason's guy, and he helped me get firewood for the house.
Hmm. Doesn't seem like your type of friend at all.
You'd be surprised. We're not really friends. That wasn't a lie. Curtis's warning look had made it clear that he didn't want to deal with an association with me, which, okay, I guess I understood and could live with. However, I wasn't done with him, not by a long shot. But I also didn't have illusions about this being something with a future. He wasn't ever going to be a meet-the-parents guy. And seeing as how my dad hadn't seemed impressed by him at all, I should probably have been relieved by that. Not having this weird want in my gut, and strange melancholy that settled over me.
Curtis, I was gonna burn my damn phone. To start, I had to turn Nash down for food at the tavern, twice. Then I had the kid and his fancy-pants parents looking down their noses at me, not taking credit cards. Like I needed one of those little fiddly phone things a lot of the artists at fairs had now. Gah. Last thing I wanted was more math and numbers in my life. But the last straw for my phone came Sunday when a text arrived. Parents headed home. You owe me a lesson. I'm off today at 2. Thought I might stop by. I literally growled at the phone. I wanted to see him in the worst way. Wanted the release of a scene. Plus, he'd inevitably have food with him. And my winter greens were getting awfully tiresome. But that want was dangerous. It was why I hadn't gotten together with him since our last scene. I didn't like how I was coming to crave him. His laugh, his hands, alternately punishing and tender. His praise, which I tried so hard not to need and still felt like a drug. I'd been doing scenes with Bill for years. Never once craved him personally. The pain, sure. But I didn't moon around thinking about whether he'd like my latest sculpture, or what he might cook for me. Or what we might talk about, like I did with Logan. The kid. Needed to keep that straight in my head. But it was hard, when I enjoyed him so much more than I'd expected. Our conversation when I'd cut his hair had been every bit as pleasurable as our kinkier encounters. As it happened, though, I was working on the troll for his mother that morning. So it wasn't need that had me replying. Or so I told myself as I typed out a response. You want to see your mom's piece? Should have something ready around then. Of course, Boy Wonder was fast with the reply. I'll be there. A drizzle had been coming down all day, but I wasn't surprised when he came on the bike, not the car I'd seen in his garage. You cold? I asked as he got his helmet off and the bike stowed under the awning. I've got a pot of coffee on, passably fresh. Thanks. His smile was more welcome than the missing sun. But I'm good. Yeah, you are. I gave him a once-over. The goatee was really starting to come in now, and his new haircut really did suit. I'd done the side shorter and left a bit more up top. He looked like some Hollywood guy prepping for an action flick. He was still slim, but something about the new look made him seem taller, tougher, hotter. Let me see what you've been working on. I want to text a pic to Mom if that's cool. It's not done yet, so you be sure and tell her it's in progress, but feel free. I led him over to where I had all my gear set up. I'd roughed out the body of the troll, so now it was down to the detail work. He's starting to take shape. I should have him finished next week. Get him a coat of wood protector and polyurethane so he won't rot in the garden. He's perfect. Logan snapped a bunch of pictures, crouching low to get a good angle, giving me a nice view of his ass. Taking a quick glance down the street, I reached down and squeezed his muscular ass. Hey! Sorry. I grinned at him. It was weird. Something about being around him made me smile. But I was also far grumpier around him than I was with other people. Even with Nash, I could usually put up a front, not let too much of my true emotions show. But Logan felt different, and that unnerved me. You are not, he shook his head at me. But really, my mom is gonna freak at how good this is looking. How'd you even get into carving anyway? Had a neighbor growing up. He hated my folks, but took pity on me some. Slipped me food and taught me how to whittle. I still remembered how elated I'd been at the gift of a pocket knife. Still had the sucker, too. From then on, I always had some little creature going. But it wasn't until I met Troy's old man that I learned about chainsaw carving. He was a carver? Yep, logger, too. Worked with Johnny's dad. He got me jobs after high school, logging with them, and then after seeing me whittling, he taught me the basics of carving with his saw. Sounds like a great guy. The best, salt of the earth. I'd grieved his death from a heart attack far harder than my father's overdose. Anyway, I started doing it with scrap pieces, and when that started selling, I got more serious. Did competitions. Learned from the guys who won. I still take a logging job here and there, but the carving's become my main work. I love it. You're so damn talented. Logan strolled down the row of my pieces, stopping every so often to touch or take a picture. Eh, I shrugged off the praise. I just work hard. Lot of practice. And how'd you get the service station to use as a gallery? Troy's dad again. He had a buddy who owned the joint, and when it went belly up, he sold it to Troy and me for a song. It's good real estate on 101. Yeah, it is. Plus it's quirky. Tourists like quirky. I snorted. I could give a rat's ass about quirky. I'm just not about to replace a functional building with something prettier. That's all. What did Troy do? The kid paused next to a sculpture of a bear cub, one of my favorites. His words were cautious, like he knew he was wandering into dangerous territory. Usually I kept Troy tight to my chest, didn't like sharing him with outsiders. And locals already knew our story, knew better than to ask too many questions. But somehow the kid always had a way of getting me talking. Put himself through school as a trucker, got a business degree, and then used his dad's life insurance money to open a trucking company with some buddies. They did good business. I couldn't help the pride that slipped into my voice. He sounds like a great guy, Logan said softly, petting the top of the bear's head. One of a kind, I agreed, throat going tight. And his parents were cool with you guys? That's awesome. Wouldn't say they were cool, exactly. They loved Troy. Simple as that. They'd loved Troy, and he'd made it clear to them that I wasn't going anywhere, so they'd dealt. And I wasn't ever going to stop being grateful that they hadn't cut us off. It helped that we'd been friends first. They knew me. His dad had already been getting me work at that point. Think they pretty much suspected after a time, so maybe it wasn't that big a surprise. That's how my parents were, too. They love me. They found out when I was in junior high. All the bullying made it so I had to tell them. But like you said, I don't think it was that big of a shock to them. Sucks about the bullying. Hope you laid a few of them out when you got your karate skills. I promised my parents I'd only fight if I had no choice. Self-defense only. Three of them came at me freshman year and cornered me behind the gym. I didn't throw a punch, but I did knock them down to get away. Good for you. I didn't like the way my heart sped up at the notion of him in danger. Can you show me around the place? I want to see your winter garden. He seemed over heavy emotional talk, and God knew I was too. Sure. I let him into the building, trying to see things through his eyes, hoping he didn't find me lacking. I hated caring what he thought. This is my workroom, more or less. I used the counter for writing invoices and stored checks and cash in the old register until I could be bothered with a bank run. The rest of the room was taken up with my equipment hanging on racks and assorted smaller pieces that I worked on in the evenings. Awesome. He went from piece to piece, touching and looking, like a kid at one of those hands-on museums. In the far corner, the counter that had held food displays and a drink dispenser now had a basic two-burner cooktop and a sink. He inspected that, too, and I had a feeling his chef's side was cringing at the lack of oven and amenities. Back room is where I sleep. Felt somewhat weird showing him that. So I quickly added, "You wanted to see my garden?" We went outside, past all the wood on the side of the building, to the homemade greenhouse I had. "Oh, this is so cool." He admired my winter crop of greens and onions. "Someday I'm going to have a huge garden. Enough for me, and then herbs and stuff for the restaurant. Mom gardens, but it's mainly ornamental plants." Man, I loved his big dreams. I nodded. "Garden to go along with your eco house? You're gonna be busy." "Yep." Undeterred, he smiled at me. We came out of the greenhouse and he pointed at the tarp against the back of the station. "What is that? A motorcycle?" "Yeah." I didn't stop him when he went to take a peek, but I also couldn't quiet the sudden roiling in my gut. "Oh, this is sick! Better than the bikes out in the lot on Leather Night. It's yours?" "Yeah." "Wow! Would you take me for a ride sometime?" His voice had all the same wonder that it did when he talked to gardens and houses. My chest ached with the force of wanting to be something more than what I was for him. "I've always wanted to try a motorcycle, but none of my friends are into them." "Nope. I don't drive it much anymore." "You don't?" His face fell and he let the tarp drop. "Why?" "Oh." His mouth made a perfect circle. "That's how Troy died?" Damn. He saw too much. "Yep. Drunk driver up by Coos Bay. I've only ridden a few times since. Just... can't, I guess."
"Understandable."
He rubbed his arm. His sympathy felt both itchy and welcome. A wool sweater on a cold day. It was big and scary. Letting him see even that much of my private grief. "You want me to give you a lift home?" I switched topics abruptly, heading over to where the truck was parked. "We can toss your bike in the back." His mouth quirked like he was thinking hard, trying to keep up. "You want to go to my place?" "That's where you keep the rope, right?" I looked him up and down, making my meaning clear. I needed away from this place, away from these memories and feelings, away from my own head. And he was the right one to get me there. Funny how I wanted to run, but not from him. "You're so all fired to get me trussed up. How about you tie me to the bed and fuck me until I can't think?" His eyes went wide. Hell yes. You're on.
12. Logan. Curtis wanted me to tie him to the bed and fuck him. And I knew a huge part of it was that he didn't want to talk about his dead lover anymore, and was tired of my questions. But there was heat in his eyes, and he brought my bike over to the truck with purposeful strides. He certainly seemed intent on this plan, and I sure as hell wasn't turning him down. I helped him heft the bike into the truck bed, even though he was a guy who routinely lifted entire trees and could undoubtedly manhandle one bike.
"You have stuff at your place?"
he asked as he swung into the cab. "Yep." I'd purchased some condoms and lube in a fit of hopefulness, and bondage rope I already had plenty of.
"Good."
He drove like he walked, and worked. Sure, confident, and just this side of reckless, like he couldn't help but go fast. When we parked at my place, he glanced down the street in the direction of Mason and Nash's place, with a frown on his face. "Mason's at the tavern. Lilac's with Mason's dad. Think Flint is working today." I reassured him.
"Wasn't worried."
He looked down that direction again, eyes narrowing. "Liar. But you could just say we're friends if someone asks. You don't have to tell them about anything else." He snorted.
"Nash isn't gonna buy us as friends. Sorry."
"Hey." I took affront to that. "I make a good friend. Nothing too weird about two guys getting together for a meal or a movie or something."
"Never said you weren't friend material. Nash and I have been friends for over 20 years now. He sees my truck here, he's gonna know we're fucking."
"Fair enough." I gritted my teeth as I got out of the truck. I wasn't so sure that Nash would automatically know and disapprove, and I didn't like Curtis dismissing the idea of a friendship so easily. It ticked me off that my dad had essentially thought the same thing, that friendship with Curtis would be a bad idea. Who the fuck cared what other people thought? For whatever reason, I liked him, liked spending time with him, and despite all his protests, he needed a friend. It didn't have to be any more complicated than that.
"You want me in the bedroom?"
he asked as I unlocked the door. "I want you any way I can get you." "That'll do." I followed him down the short hall to my bedroom and went to the closet where I'd stored my bondage rope and other supplies on the top shelf.
"I like you in black."
Trying to lighten my mood, I grinned at him as I tossed a couple hanks of black rope on the bed. I added a pair of scissors. "See? I can cut you loose at any point."
"Kip. Logan. I'm not going to safe word on you. I want this."
Dropping the kid label meant every bit as much to me as the trust he was placing in me. I loved when he said my name. He unbuttoned his flannel shirt.
"Honestly, I'm more worried about the fact that you haven't topped than your knot-tying ability."
"I never said..." I sputtered.
"Never play poker with me, kid."
He laughed as he pulled off his shirt. And just like that, I was pissed again. "Logan. And that was a dirty trick. You could have just asked."
"Yeah, but my way was more fun."
He winked at me as he finished undressing.
"And I don't mind. Just go slow. Don't be afraid to get off once before we fuck, if you're worried about going off like a rocket, and..."
"I'm not," I snapped. Even if that wasn't bad advice. Although giving your mouth something to do is starting to sound excellent. "But first, I want to tie you. Kneel on the rug." I had a thick blue throw rug on the floor by the bed, and it would work to save his knees.
"No ties that go around my neck,"
he warned as he complied. "I won't touch your neck," I promised. "Did something bad happen to you in a past scene, or you just don't like your neck touched?" His eyes got distant.
"I've done some breath play."
Mainly with Troy, because I trusted him.
It can be hard as fuck, until it goes sideways with a crazy-ass top who trots out choking without warning. I had bruises for weeks, and now I won't go there.
That's awful. I stroked his hair. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Eh, I'm over it,
he said, even though he clearly wasn't.
Get on with the tying.
I'm going to do a variation of a box tie, I explained, so he'd know what was coming. I hated that other top who had hurt him, wanted to flatten him, but even with that impulse, I was still eager to get on with our scene. I had hours and hours of kink research to finally put into practice. Arms behind your back, but crossed, not straight. Make sure they're comfortable before I start. The rope will come around your shoulders and torso before circling your biceps, and then binding your arms together.
Okay.
He watched me unwind a hank of black rope.
You going to bind my legs, too?
Just the arms. Even as my nerves jangled, my brain kept humming along with stuff I'd like to try. Someday, I wanted to get him in a full frog tie on the bed, fuck him on his back. But I wanted him to have more range of motion for this first time. Plus, I liked the ability to have him move if I so choose.
Sounds good.
He stretched his arms and shoulders a few times and assumed the position I'd described, arms behind his back, crossed. Using gentle motions, I made his hands lay flat on his forearms, wrists facing each other. This position was called Tecate Cote, and I'd been in love with it ever since I'd seen it demonstrated at a workshop. It managed to be both elegant and complicated without being crazy difficult to execute. I started with a three-strand cuff around the wrists, and then pointed the knot at his neck so I could do the torso part of the tie.
I'm surprised you don't need to look at a picture on your phone,
Curtis said with a laugh. Man, I loved his genuine laughter. How warm it made my gut. How it worked its way past all my nerves to relax me. He made enacting all of my fantasies fun, and I loved that easiness we shared. Don't make me paddle your ass before we fuck. I wrapped the rope around both upper arms in a double pass, adjusting tension so it was even between all the lines.
Exactly how bad do I have to get for that?
He winked at me, sparking a fresh wave of warm feelings in me.
Because I can insult. Paddle it is.
I locked the upper chest strap in place by catching all four strands before starting the lower chest band, just below his pecs. When I practiced this at the workshop, the sub was silent. No laughing.
I'd tell you you're damn good at this for a novice, but I really want that paddle.
Oh, you're getting the paddle, after you blow me. My voice was firm, but I couldn't resist smiling at him.
Such a punishment.
He licked his lips. You're such a bratty sob. Both upper and lower chest straps fastened. I got to do my favorite part, grabbing the rope through the crook of his elbow and using the cinch that created to define the bands around his biceps. It looked hot as fuck, and he wasn't getting free any time soon.
And you love it.
He wasn't wrong. I did love him like this, relaxed and joking, just bratty enough to justify the paddle, but still giving up control to me. A truly quiet sub might be too intimidating for me, with Curtis. I always knew where I stood, and he kept me from getting wrapped up in my own head. And even though I'd fantasized about it for years, the reality of tying up a bigger man was far hotter than imagined, all his muscles rippling as I worked, tats playing peekaboo with the rope. I repeated the cinch under his upper arm, being careful with the tension to make sure everything was even, nothing twisted or digging in. The simple, clean lines looked great, and I made sure his wrists were well supported before tying everything off. You want to see a picture of the rigging from the back? I grabbed my phone from my pocket.
Nah, I trust you. I can tell your tensioning was spot on. I'll let you do my legs sometime if you want. You've got a knack for this. Turns me on.
I loved knowing that. Tying him up was awesome, but it was even better if he liked it as much as I did. The fact that someone like him wanted this from me was never going to stop giving me a thrill. Now you get to work on your patience. I undressed slowly as I circled him, inspecting my work from all angles. First, my shirts came off, then boots, and finally my jeans. I kind of liked staying clothed while he was naked, but this was going to be easier for what I had planned.
Gimme.
He jerked his head in the direction of my cock.
What did I say about patience?
Gripping my cock at the base, I gently slapped it against his cheeks. His idea about coming fast so that I could enjoy the fucking more was a great one. Not that I was going to give him credit. I gave him just the tip to lick, standing far back enough that he had to work for each taste.
More.
He growled.
Please.
Ah, there's my favorite word. I gave him a little more, sliding the shaft across his waiting tongue before retreating.
You want to get me off this way?
He moaned his agreement, sucking on my cockhead.
Good.
Do it fast and I'll give you that paddling you seem to want so much. Make your ass all red before I fuck you hard. He went right to the flutter suck with his tongue that had worked last time. I had more confidence this time too, fucking his mouth fast. He moaned around my cock when I went deep and chased me on the retreat. I loved looking down at him all bound up, too. The same muscles I'd seen flexing and working while he carved were all at my disposal. And all the command and charisma he usually flaunted were replaced with supplication, so much that it made my breath catch. The trust he put in me was every bit as potent as his tongue action.
That's it. Gonna get me there.
I put a hand in his soft hair, both because he seemed to love it and also to steady him as I went faster. Much as I loved owning him like this, I didn't want to accidentally choke him.
You love this, don't you? Being bound for me, on your knees.
He groaned low, making my balls tighten. Another hard suck, and I was right on the edge.
Here it comes.
I gasped as the climax hit. It was fast and swift, like a clean takedown in an Aikido match, knocking the wind from me. Our eyes met, and that further stole my breath, the way he looked at me like I was his whole world, like he had no better purpose than to get me off.
Fuck. So good.
You're lucky I don't go comatose like you after coming. I stroked his face and hair, loving the contrast of smooth skin, fuzzy beard, and silky hair, reveling in that look in his eyes as he waited for my next order. I still got plenty of energy to make your ass sting.
Counting on it. How do you want me?
On the bed. I had to help him up, and then I arranged him face down on the bed, pillows raising his ass for me. It gave me a perfect view of his rigging. I did a quick circulation test to make sure the shift in position hadn't caused any issues.
Arms okay?
Nothing too tight?
Peachy. Fucking love this. Bring it on!
His eagerness for pain was the stuff of my dreams. I'd always found the idea of inflicting pain on a willing partner absolutely intoxicating, and the need in Curtis's voice made my chest tighten. He needed this from me, and I wasn't going to let him down. I fetched the paddle from the closet and then stood next to the bed so that I could spank him with my full range of motion. I'd practiced with the paddle on both the arm of the couch and my own thigh, and while there was a definite sting to the leather paddle, it spread the pain out in a way that made it more manageable. Rather than counting, I played with him, starting very softly and building intensity with each blow until he was moaning and his skin was starting to pink up. It didn't take much before my dick was hard and aching from the sight, ready to go again.
"More,"
he moaned as I landed a particularly hard strike. I loved the smacking sound the paddle made, loved the way his ass bounced from the impact. I didn't give him too many blows. I wanted to make sure the sex wouldn't be too painful to enhance the sensations, but not make it an endurance marathon.
"I'm going to fuck you now,"
I told him, voice firm, even as my insides trembled. Finally, I was really going to do this. After years of Seth's active dislike of even the idea of fucking, it had taken me a while to get comfortable with wanting that, and after we'd broken up, I hadn't been in too much of a rush to find a hookup who would let me top. What I'd wanted was something more than the garden variety hookup anyway. I'd wanted this. A partner at my mercy, giving up control to me, wanting my domination every bit as much as I craved giving it. And, if I was honest, I wanted connection, too. The sort Curtis and I shared, where I genuinely liked and respected him, where I enjoyed his smart mouth and dry jokes and hidden depths.
"Go hard."
His voice had the drunken quality it took on when he went deep into the pain play. I loved being able to do that for him. I grabbed the condoms and lube from where I'd stashed them in the nightstand. Putting the condom on first, I then coated my fingers with lube. I rubbed circles around his rim, loving how that made him moan.
"Don't need prep."
Curtis's rocking hips called him an impatient liar. He was liking this plenty.
"Just go. Please."
"I do love it when you beg." I worked my slick finger in, but, in truth, I was every bit as impatient as him. There would be other chances to really torment him with fingering and rimming until he was crazy out of his head, but right then, every cell in my body was crying out for me to fuck him already. I added more lube to my cock before lining up. I couldn't resist a bit more teasing, though, rubbing up and down.
"Need a map?"
he groaned. "Cranky and bossy?" I slowed my motions down even further. Using the hand that wasn't holding my dick, I slapped his still pink ass. "I think not."
"Please, fuck me. I need it."
"Well, I suppose. Since you said please." I managed to sound completely disinterested, even as my body was clamoring to thrust. Somehow, managing to contain that urge, I slid forward slowly. Groaning, he pushed back against me. He was tight, far more than I'd expected, and warmer, too. And I was really glad I'd already come once, because 3 seconds of my dick gloved inside Curtis's fist-tight hole. Shit! This was Curtis I was fucking. And I would have shot. I rocked slowly. Shallow motions that gradually took me deeper.
"More,"
he moaned. I had to use a hand on his hip to stop him from riding back. With my thumb, I pressed on a pressure point.
"Ah, fuck."
"I'm in charge," I reminded him. Reinforcing my control, I fingered his bindings.
"Yes, fuck, more, please."
Each broken, ragged syllable from him made my cock throb. His ass was still hot from the paddling, and I liked how it felt against my thighs as I finally slid all the way in. Fuck. He'd let me do that. Let me spank him until his skin heated, my pulse pounded. It felt like I'd been waiting my whole life for this moment, for a partner like him. My hands returned to his bindings, tracing them as I started to set a rhythm.
That. That. You like?
I pulled him closer, careful to not yank too hard, but using the rigging for leverage.
Fuck yes. Harder.
For once, I followed his demands, mainly because my body was taking over, and it needed the same thing. I tried to aim for the angles that made him moan louder.
Fuck. Logan, you're gonna get me there. Wanna come?
My whole body surged at the sound of my name.
Not yet.
I warned.
Need it. Please. Touch me.
Just because I could, I slapped his ass. Like that?
Fuck. My cock. Touch my cock. Please.
Ah, there's the word. I slid a hand under his belly where he was rutting against the pillow, harder than I'd felt him. He was leaking pre-cum and groaned as soon as I touched him.
Not gonna take much, is it?
Things were too tight for effectively stroking him off, but just my hand there seemed to be doing it for him.
God, tell me I can come.
You can wait. I sped up my thrusts.
Wait for me. Fuck, yes, that's it. Want you to come too, Logan. Fuck me hard, please.
Oh, fuck. His begging was doing it for me, knowing I had reduced him to babbling and low groans. I needed him to come, wanted to feel him go.
Now, get yourself there. Fuck my hand.
His ass bucked as he thrust against me and the pillows, and he moaned over and over. His whole body went tense, ass clenching me hard, and I felt him shudder several times before his cum coated my fist. And the pulsing of his ass was all it took for the last of my control to evaporate. I thrust frantically, once, twice.
Coming. Fuck! I'm coming!
In him. I was coming in him. This was Curtis, the guy I liked more than I should have, the guy who made me feel things I'd never really thought possible, and he'd welcomed this from me, wanted this, needed it, as much as I had. The thought forced another spasm from me.
That's it. Give it to me.
His voice was shredded now, and he was still shaking with his own orgasm. He collapsed into the bed, squashing my hand and taking me with him in a heap. Trying to be gentle, I eased out of him.
Fuck.
Sorry.
Don't be. Fucking incredible.
He'd gone all limp and pliant, and didn't protest as I cleaned him up and carefully untied him from the bindings. Rubbing circulation back into his arms, I dropped kisses across his shoulders.
You were magnificent. Magnificently tired,
he yawned.
You wear me out.
Good. I smoothed lotion over the fading marks on his ass.
You sleep. I'm going to make you dinner. Don't need...
He didn't finish the thought, snuggling into the clean pillow I'd given him for his head.
Yes, you do.
I kissed the back of his head. I hadn't been lying. This taking care of him was one of my absolute favorite things. And now I was going to watch him sleep and daydream about what I could cook for him. Heaven. I knew it wouldn't, couldn't last. But I was determined to wring every last drop of joy out of this day.
13. Curtis. Logan's bed really was the best. Soft sheets, an abundance of pillows and fluffy comforters he draped over me. Far more luxury than one person needed. Yet I'd been powerless to do more than drift away on the cloud of good feelings post-sex. I woke up from my nap, not sure how long I'd slept, but more content than I'd been in a long time. So much so that it was almost unsettling how good I felt. The most amazing smell was drifting into the bedroom. Tomatoes, basil, something Italian, I bet. Pulling on my jeans first, I went in search of Boy Wonder and whatever he was making. At a certain point, hunger won out over principles and resolutions to not let myself get attached to his cooking. And right then, my stomach was rumbling. "That smells incredible," I said as I entered the small kitchen. He had on some soft music and was stirring a pot with a little smile on his face. Like me, he was in jeans, no shirt, and bare feet. So fucking adorable. And I wasn't supposed to be thinking that, but it was true. And I was still buzzing on endorphins from the scene and couldn't push the thought away. "Thank you." His grin was dazzling, and before I realized what he was after, he'd abandoned his stirring in favor of trapping me between the doorframe and counter. Standing like this, I realized for the first time that we were very nearly the same height. His slighter build was deceptive and... whoa. His lips slid over mine. This was unexpected, and it had been so damn long since I'd been kissed that all I could do was gasp. I maybe could have handled an aggressive I'm-gonna-own-your-ass kiss easier, but while assertive, Logan was painstakingly gentle and cautious, but not timid or fleeting either. No, this was an exploration. Little slides and sips and sighs, each of which melted another layer of the icy armor I wrapped myself in. "What was that?" I asked as he pulled back with a grin. "Long overdue." There was a softness around his eyes that made me uneasy. I'd known that his first time topping might rattle loose some feelings, and I didn't need him to go getting any romantic ideas about what this wasn't. But before I could set him straight, he continued. "And you complimented my cooking spontaneously. That's a first. Figured I better shut you up before you came to your senses." "Lucky for you, you fucked me stupid. I'm too hungry to turn you down." More than hunger for whatever he was making. I was too starved for attention like his, too long without kisses. And when he leaned in again for another kiss, I met him eagerly, letting him nip and lick and deepen the kiss to something that revealed how damn hungry I really was. "Fuck. You're going to make me burn the sauce." "Can't have that." I pushed him away. I needed a moment to collect myself anyway. I had no business kissing him, adding complications to an already complicated whatever this was. I wouldn't precisely call him a fuck buddy or hookup, but I wasn't sure why labels I'd used regularly in the past didn't work here. "What are you making?" "Pasta alla Norma. Vegan version without the cheese on top for you. It's got eggplant, tomatoes, basil, and garlic. You liked the ravioli, so I thought Italian might be nice. And pasta's one of those things that sucks to make for just one." "I'm not sure I've ever had eggplant," I admitted. "It's rich and meaty. If you like the mushrooms in our veggie burger, you'll like this." He dumped a package of noodles into a pot of bubbling water. "And I had to get the eggplant on my last trip into Coos Bay, so be kind. I'm trying to decide if it would be worth the hassle to make this the special one day." "Hey, I'm not mean," I protested. "And I do like mushrooms some." "Ha, okay. Not mean, cranky. Do you drink wine?" He held up an open bottle. I added a little red wine to the sauce, but it's a good Oregon Pinot Noir. Too nice to waste. I'm going to have some with my food. My folks brought a few bottles with them. Wine was far fancier than I usually got, but Troy had dragged me on more than one ride through the Willamette Valley vineyards. He'd liked it more than beer with special occasion foods. As long as it's not Chardonnay, I'll try it, I allowed. He already had it open, so me being rude wasn't going to serve a purpose other than bringing back that kicked puppy look of his that I hated. That stuff tastes like burnt wood to me. You just haven't had a good one. He laughed and grabbed two wine glasses from a cupboard by the stove. This was far, far too intimate for me. He had the little table set with large flat bowls, the kind they used to serve pasta at restaurants. He even had placemats, woven ones out of various colors of straw. Nice setup, I waved my hand around his space. It'll do for now. Until you get your dream place. My chest pinched again at the thought of him in some eco-friendly wood cabin with a big garden and welcoming kitchen, and some blessed person to share it with him. It was another reminder that these lessons wouldn't last forever. He was destined for things other than me, so I might as well enjoy him while I had him. Someday. He handed me both glasses of wine. Here. Put these on the table while I drain the linguine. Ugh. I couldn't help the groan as I sat. He'd lit my ass up good. I loved the ache from the paddle and the fucking. I'd apologize, but I kinda like seeing you squirm. He laughed. In short order, he drained the noodles and tossed them with the thick sauce. Watching him cook was a pleasure. The way he concentrated and hummed along with the music while sprinkling in salt and some green herb reminded me of the zone I got into while sculpting. He dished up plates for both of us, adding a generous amount of cheese to his and garnishing mine with what looked to be parsley. "When did you know you wanted to be a cook?" I asked as he sat down opposite me. "I guess I was around 13 or so. The bullying was really bad, and I'd come home and lose myself for hours in cooking shows on TV. Sounds stupid, but they were what I needed." "Not so stupid. I used TV too," I admitted. "When shit was bad with my folks, I could count on old sitcoms or The Simpsons. Necessary distraction." "Exactly. And the TV show chefs were always so happy, and had a nice dish at the end. I wanted to be like those chefs, bringing people together with a meal, spreading joy. I convinced my mom to let me start messing around with recipes from the shows. The rest was history. I loved being in the kitchen. It became my solace." I got that. Carving had been that for me, too. "Well, you're damn good at it." The pasta was tender without being mushy, while the sauce was chunky and rich. He'd called the eggplant meaty, but it didn't remind me of any beef or chicken. Closer to bread than meat. It was velvety and tasted heavenly of garlic and onions. "You like?" His twinkling eyes said he already knew the answer. "It'll do." I couldn't help smiling back before taking a small sip of the wine, which really did complement the food perfectly with its robust taste. "If you put it on the menu, tell Mason or Ringer to talk up the wine idea. That'll bring you some more dollars if folks drink with dinner." "I love your ideas. I already told Mason about pricing the ravioli right and doing bigger portions." "Did your parents agree to invest with you guys? That should help more than any tips from me." Logan groaned. "I wish it were that easy. Dad wants to think about it. They're visiting next month to get the sculpture from you and to talk with us more."
"That's a start, right? I think what they really want is me to move back to the Portland area. They miss me."
"I'm gonna miss you too.
Whenever he finally did return to his fancy Portland life, I'd miss his cooking and his smiles and his homey little place. And fuck, I didn't want that. The wine turned sour in my gut. I missed enough damn people in my life. I didn't need to miss him, too. Maybe the only solution was to collect some memories to keep me warm after he left, to try to soak up as much of his son as I could now.
Logan. By some minor miracle, I'd managed to get Curtis to agree to food and another lesson on my next early night, Thursday. We'd been text flirting the first part of the week, or at least as flirty as Curtis got, me tossing out ideas for the lesson, him countering with suggestions of his own. We were talking predicament bondage, which was something that intrigued me a lot. So, when a message came in after lunch on Thursday, I didn't think much of it until I glanced at my phone. Gotta cancel tonight. Sorry, hurt my foot. Damn it. Knowing Curtis, it could be anything from an accidental amputation to a log landing wrong and crushing it. How bad? I replied, but no answer came. I wasn't content with that, so as soon as I finished up at the tavern, I headed to his place. A thick rain had been coming down all day, so I'd taken my car that morning. A rarity for me. I parked next to his truck. No Curtis out front, but also no pool of blood, thank God. Curtis? I called, rapping on the glass door. No answer. It was unlocked, so I poked my head in. Curtis? You here?
Hey, kid.
He was sitting on the only chair in the space, a stool in the corner, foot propped up on a stump while he whittled some little thing.
I'm fine, promise. You didn't need to hurry over, just banged up, that's all.
What happened? I crouched in front of him.
Slipped, getting a load out of the truck bed. Wasn't thinking or something, lost my footing. Banged my shin and hip, too, but the ankle seems to have taken the brunt of it.
He had the boot off, so I inspected it. His whole foot was swollen and puffy. This looks bad. Can you put weight on it?
Not much. That's why I canceled on you. Probably shouldn't try to drive on it, but I'll be fine tomorrow.
You need the urgent care clinic. I think it could be a break.
Eh.
He shrugged.
I hate doctors. All they're going to do is poke at it, make it worse.
No. They're going to take x-rays, which is what you need. I moved to pat his shoulder. What's so bad about doctors?
When I was little, we never had the money to visit a clinic, and the few times I was sick enough to have to see a doc, they were always suspicious of my parents. Felt like I was one report away from foster care.
From everything I'd heard about his parents, I wasn't convinced that would have been the worst outcome. But I understood childhood fears. I nodded and rubbed his shoulder. I've heard good things about this urgent care clinic. Let me take you.
It's not that bad. You could rustle me up some Tylenol, I suppose.
He was pale, mouth a thin line, forehead knit with obvious pain.
I don't think so. Curtis, your foot is twice its usual size. Over-the-counter painkillers aren't going to cut it. We're going to urgent care.
I used my Dom voice on him.
Not sure I can walk to the truck.
He sighed. I'll help you. And I've got my car. That'll be easier for you to climb into. I moved so I could give him a hand up. Just lean on me. We'll take it slow. Being all muscle, he was heavier than he looked. But we managed with him leaning on my shoulder. I assisted him into my passenger seat and locked up the building for him.
You don't have to do all this.
He protested more than once. I'm off work. Nothing better to do. I joked, trying to get him to smile.
Might as well cart you around.
The urgent care clinic was located just outside downtown in a low building with a large parking lot. Adjacent to the lot was a helipad for life flight. Since we didn't have a full-fledged hospital, all the